Good morning. You guys are active this morning. Good morning. You guys are having a nice chat session going on. I love it. This is what we should be doing as a church family. Each and every week we should be getting to know each other, seeing what's going on in each other's lives, because we are called faith community, so we should be acting like one. So I appreciate you all being here for this wonderful second Sunday of Advent. Last week we lit a candle for hope, and this week we're doing peace, so we have hope and peace that we always can have among us because we have Jesus Christ with us each and every day. Turn to our announcements. There's several in here for you to be looking at. I'm only going to touch on a few of them. First, I want to remind our trustees that we have a meeting on Wednesday. Usually they're Tuesday of last week, but it's Wednesday of this week, so just wanted to make sure you guys knew that that was the case. I was looking out here, we need greeters and hospitality folks in here in December, so take a look out there. If you can help with those areas, we need your help. Also, today we have some celebration during communion. We're going to remember the Blue Christmas a little bit during communion. I'll explain that a little bit later, but there's also a Blue Christmas service that is going to be happening at 2:30 today in the chapel. So if you want to come to that as something that will give you comfort in this season, we invite you to that today. Mary Martha is meeting tomorrow, and they're having a special time together with some assistance from the Xenia High School Ensemble. So ladies, if you want to be there, it'd be a great time to get together to have that seasonal kind of celebration together as you meet. A reminder about our blood drive. This is an important season of year, unfortunately, also for people needing blood. So if you have the capacity to be able to do that, we're doing that on the Monday before Christmas, so it's the 22nd. Sign up for that and make sure that we can give life to those that are in a time of need. I think I want to say that is enough announcements for today. There's plenty more in there. There's a lot happening with the church in this season. I hope you take part in each and every one of them. Let us begin our time of worship with our prelude.
Advent reminds us that we are people who share a story, the story of Jesus, who enacts peace by judging in favor of the poor and deciding with equity for the meek of the earth. We long for the day when the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. Today we choose to live the story of peace, believing that true peace comes when we seek the flourishing of God's creation. We light this candle of peace as a sign of our commitment to bring light to the places the world seeks to hide, until that day when all creation lives together in harmony and abundance.
Thank you. Please stand for our call to worship. We gather to remember the story of God's people, how God has called us to live in peace and righteousness in a world full of conflict and chaos. We tell the story. We recount the story of our journey with God, the moments of God's provision and God's prophetic guidance.
We tell the story together of the day that all the earth awaits.
We gather to repent and return anew to God's story that guides our lives to work for peace and flourishing for all God's creation.
We gather to tell the story of the day that all the earth awaits.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Please remain standing, if you're able, for our opening hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light, hymn number 206.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Please join with me in our opening prayer. God of hope and peace, as we worship you this day, may we catch a glimpse of your peace. May we open ourselves to receive your grace. May we welcome one another as you have welcomed us. May we prepare our hearts and our lives for Christ to be born in us again. And when our worship is done, may we be renewed in body and spirit, prepared to bring your righteousness and justice to the world. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Children, please come forward for a children's moment.
Oh, lady.
I changed my mind what I was going to talk about.
That's wild.
Just at the last minute.
Okay.
Okay. That is a candy cane. So we are going to talk about candy canes. There's a wrapper still on it, so be careful. Let's not put it in our mouth until we take it back to our mom and dad and show them about this. Okay, so with the candy cane, you can look through it. We just can look through it with our eyes. Okay, candy canes, they have a lot to do with Christmas. Is there a letter you can make out of the candy cane? J. Has anybody ever heard that? What maybe the candy cane could represent for us?
Jesus.
A shepherd's crook.
A shepherd's crook,
yes. Anything else has anybody learned about the candy cane before?
And the red might be the Jesus' blood.
And the red might be Jesus' blood. That sums up my lesson for today. Very good.
But what's the white?
The children will lead us. Yes, what could the white be? Oh, yeah, yours doesn't have white.
What does the blood do for us, for Jesus? Jesus' blood purifies us from our sins.
It cleans us from our sins, yes. Yeah. Okay, so that is the candy cane message about Jesus and the baby Jesus. I always think, what a fitting way for think about baby Jesus and little Jesus with candy. Because sometimes I like to just take a thought when I'm having my morning coffee or when I'm praying, and I think, you know, Jesus was a kid. Jesus probably liked sweets just like we did. He probably learned from his dad. He had a father and he had a dad, right? So who was Jesus's father?
God.
But he also had a dad. Who was his dad?
Joseph.
And so today we're going to learn about Jesus as a young kid and his dad. So think about, today I was having my morning coffee and I was thinking about what Jesus and his dad would do. Did he learn some things from his dad? What was his dad's job? Does anybody know?
Carpenter.
Maybe he learned some things from his dad like I learned from my dad. My dad actually was a carpenter, too, so I learned a little bit about that. So I would like you to take more than one candy cane. You can take as many candy canes. These were given to us and Pastor Jeff from somebody, but you're only allowed to keep one for yourself. So you're going to go give these away to somebody in the crowd, okay, and then you're going to go have a seat. Think about Jesus and maybe Joseph today. What did Jesus do when he was young? What did he learn from his dad? Think about maybe what you have learned from your parents. Okay, so hey, come here. Let's pray, and then you get to go. All those candy canes, you're going to have to give those away. You want to give all of them away? Okay.
We could take our time all through the week, too, when as we learn to give. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for being you. And Father, thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins and purify us for our sins. Please let us think about our dads and our fathers and our parents and what they have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, thanks guys. Please join with us in our prayer hymn, number 235, Rockabye, My Dear Little Boy.
Let us continue our time together in prayer as we think about our Lord Jesus and His Father today. Amazing God, we come to You as the body of Christ. There are so many things that we learn as we get to know ourselves in Jesus. And today we get to learn a little bit more about His earthly Father. So God, as we consider what that means to us, to see how You are the one who speaks out to us as our Father, but yet we have an earthly Father as well. Lord, we hope that You are the one shaping all of us. And as we can see in Jesus' story, He had many influences in His life, with Joseph being one. So Lord, as we think about all the influences in our lives, let us be open to see how You have blessed us in so many different ways. How You brought people into our lives, whether they are through our own relation or if they are others around us. You have put people in our lives to help us understand who You are. For that we are grateful. So Lord, continue to work in us, to shape us, to help us be an influence for others. Just as Joseph was to his son Jesus. But Lord, we know that everything that we have comes from You. So may we continue to put our eyes on You, O God. As we witness who Jesus is and how He grows into who You would have Him to be in order to carry out what You had for Him to be our Savior. It is through Your power, O God, that we are able to walk each and every day, to walk through life as it comes at us. So may we be inspired today, knowing that we are never alone, that we always have those people around us, and we always have You. And we learn all of this through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Let's now share the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we have a continued opportunity, not only to be the church, but to be an influence in the world. If you weren't here last week, you may have missed the fact that we have a partnership with Mongolia. We are working with a missionary over there who is carrying out a great ministry in an area that needs to hear more and more about Jesus. Throughout Advent, we are receiving a special offering that is going to support that Mongolian mission initiative, but also for our local benevolence. So if you give an offering for Advent in one of the envelopes or you mark on your check that it is for the Advent Christmas offering, half of it will go towards the local benevolence fund and half of it will go to our Mongolian mission initiative. We always receive the gifts that we are given in order for us to show that we are one of Christ as we give our offering each and every week. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Please join in the prayer of dedication. Abundant God, your blessings and righteousness are bountiful in our lives. May these gifts bear good fruit as they go forth, that peace may come, that creation may be healed, and that those who cry for justice may be heard. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
Our gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24, the birth of Jesus the Messiah. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife. The word of God for the people, God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated.
Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, the savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore.
Thanks, Terry. Well, for those who didn't join us for worship last week, and for the rest of us who welcome a refresher, throughout Advent and Christmas, for my sermons, I am drawing inspiration from Adam Hamilton's book, The Journey, Walking the Road to Bethlehem. We have our presentation up here, John. Is it okay? Anyways, my sermon titles will match the chapters of Hamilton's book. And while some themes may be shared by Hamilton and myself, my focus will really be on the primary scriptures that is highlighted on the journey to Bethlehem. All are welcome to read Hamilton's book, to join one of our Sunday school classes who are using his study materials associated with the book to guide their discussions, but it's not necessary in order to follow the sermon series. One more slide already, please, John. Thank you. Like Hamilton, we started with looking at Mary of Nazareth's story from Luke when she was told by an angel of the Lord that she would become pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit and have a son to be named Jesus, who would be the Son of God. In Mary of Nazareth's story, I encouraged us all to see God's truth of salvation as revealed through her story to help shape our story, recognizing this: God's saving work is by God's power, not through worldly powers. God's grace is the saving power through which our hearts and lives are transformed. God chooses to work with us rather than overpower us. And by grace through faith, God's work is accomplished in and through even us. Today we turn our attention to Joseph of Bethlehem. And like Mary, God chose to involve Joseph in the work of salvation. Now, Mary's role is undeniable, being she would carry the child for 9 months, birth him, nurse and nurture him through his childhood. Mary's story is followed throughout the Gospels. You can see her name mentioned all the way through it. Joseph, on the other hand, well, he wasn't required for the conception of the child, and his name is only mentioned a few times. Yet Joseph's role was just as significant as Mary's in God's unfolding work of salvation that had been going on for centuries as revealed in the Old Testament scriptures. Joseph's significance is actually his name. His family heritage was in the line of King David, whose throne was promised to the long-awaited Messiah. Without Joseph, Mary of Nazareth's child could not fulfill the Old Testament prophecies of an heir of King David being crowned the eternal shepherd of God's people. Also, Joseph's hometown of Bethlehem also played a significant role in connecting God's saving work to the history of God's interceding through the Hebrew people. Hamilton shared how well known this little town of Bethlehem was to the Israelites, writing this: Rachel's husband, Jacob, buried her near this town. Bethlehem was also the setting of the book of Ruth. Ruth's great-grandson was a child named David. Bethlehem became known as, associated with David, the great king, and the city became known also, Jerusalem as well, as the city of David. Even though Bethlehem was small, it was prominent in Israel's story. It also became a city of interest when centuries after King David and centuries before Jesus' birth, the prophet Micah spurred on hope, speaking for the Lord, announcing, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. God chose Joseph of Bethlehem, who was betrothed to Mary of Nazareth, to be the one who would give Jesus his name and heritage to fulfill the Lord's promises to God's people. God is faithful, and with encouragement from the Lord, so was Joseph. Now, with this as our background, what else can we learn about God and our response to the Lord's work of salvation from Matthew's gospel story leading up to the birth of the Messiah? What does God reveal through Joseph of Bethlehem? Well, because we have combined in our heads, I know we're all guilty of this, the gospel stories of Jesus' birth, we often miss the reality that while Mary and Joseph were engaged, Mary lived in Nazareth, and Joseph lived in Bethlehem, which are days' journeys apart. Some time had passed from the moment of Gabriel tells Mary of her divinely inspired and empowered conception to the point when she tells Joseph that she was pregnant. Hamilton suggested Joseph found out when Mary was staying with her cousin Elizabeth in a town near Jerusalem, only about 6 miles from Bethlehem. So I ask, have you ever thought much about Joseph's reaction? Or perhaps even how you would feel if you were in Joseph's shoes. Would you believe Mary when she denied sleeping with another man, claiming the Holy Spirit miraculously conceived the child in her? Hamilton pondered these questions. He said Joseph likely felt betrayed, dishonored, humiliated, and hurt by Mary and the other man. In his anger, he may have reminded Mary that the law commanded that women who were adulterous were to be put to death. If he told others what he knew, she would die. So you can be sure Joseph was overwhelmed by this news. Everything he was working for, preparing for, their future together was blowing up in his face. I expect he couldn't even look her in the eyes and left quickly to cool off and to gather his thoughts, completely distraught, yet deeply concerned for Mary and his future. Joseph wrestled with what to do. And Matthew shared, her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. Now, a righteous man, Joseph sought to abide by the law. But the law required Mary to be brought before the public to share why he would divorce her. At a minimum, he would need 2 witnesses, but being in a small town, it may as well have been everyone. Regardless of how public the disgrace, the reality is both he and Mary's lives would be upended, even if Joseph quietly divorced Mary. Could Joseph remain right with God by not following the law as he knew it? At the core of God's character, what was right for Joseph? If not the letter of the law, then what? So I ask, think of how Jesus dealt with the adulterous woman the Pharisees brought before him. And after challenging the people present, if any had not sinned, to throw the first stone, and all walked away without throwing a stone, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? Neither do I condemn you." Jesus offered forgiveness and reconciliation. What does this kind of response say of God's character? Would God create a scenario for Joseph to go against the Lord's ways? In Joseph of Bethlehem's story, we discover God's heart is one of compassion and mercy. God wasn't setting Joseph up to break the law. The Lord was preparing to show Joseph the limits of the law and the power of love. When God sent Gabriel to Mary, God knew the situation both Mary and Joseph would be in. God had already prompted Gabriel to get a message to Joseph when the time was right. When it was clear that Joseph had resolved to divorce Mary, that's when the angel of the Lord met with Joseph in a dream, encouraging him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Joseph had the choice to walk away. If he rested on his own sinful and selfish tendencies, then he would do what was best for him. However, God met Joseph right where he was, in that moment of choosing self or Mary and the child that she carried. Also choosing self-righteousness or what is right in the ways of the Lord. The message of assurance given by the Lord was a message to Joseph's heart. To have compassion and mercy for Mary, the child, and ultimately for all people, as his son would save us all from our sins. Through God's intercession with Joseph, we are awakened to the reality that our hearts are shaped by God's heart. God's work of salvation is holistic in nature. Jesus saves, yes. But Jesus coming into the world to save us from our sins also transforms us to be free of our sin. Giving our heart to the Lord is the first step to our hearts being shaped by God's heart. So friends, Jesus meets us where we are. The Lord knows the condition of our heart and every moment. The Holy Spirit is ready to speak to our hearts if we only listen. Doesn't matter where we are or what we are doing, we can ask. We don't have to feel alone or forgotten. We can ask. This is the encouragement Matthew chose to interject as he told the birth story of his Savior, reciting the prophet Isaiah. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. You see, Matthew is a Jewish man, speaking and writing to a Jewish audience. And as he did, he reflected on a prophetic voice that spoke into a time of Israel's history where many had felt abandoned by God, being under attack from their enemies to the north. Isaiah, speaking on behalf of God, assured them that they had not been forsaken, but the Lord was with them and would always be with them. Isaiah assured them that if they followed the story of the child born, they would see the promise of God fulfilled. For us, the encouragement is simply, God is with us. We are not abandoned, and the promise we have in Jesus is fulfilled. Through this story of Joseph of Bethlehem and Matthew's reflection, we know it is God's character to be with us always. Again, the Lord meets us where we are. Not to leave us there, but to align our hearts with His and to guide us through our days. Hamilton, reflecting on Matthew's reference to Isaiah to offer assurance in Mary's child's purpose, shared, "This new Emmanuel was God's way of assuring humanity that no matter how dark your circumstances, no matter how afraid you might be, no matter what is happening in your life or in the world around you, God is always with you." Joseph and Mary's situation and challenges didn't vanish. But they journeyed with Emmanuel. With the encouragement of the Lord received in his dream, Joseph made a choice. Matthew wrote, "When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife." Joseph followed his transformed heart and the guidance of the Lord to travel from Bethlehem to Nazareth, taking Mary with him to be his wife. Each action that Joseph took was in response to the Lord's work in him. Nothing about their marriage preparations or celebration were normal. And you can be sure that the people of Nazareth and of Bethlehem noticed. We don't know what interactions Mary and Joseph had with anyone or how they handled each encounter. But with Jesus present with them through it all, I trust they responded according to the Lord's will. In this story of Joseph of Bethlehem, we see our response is our witness to the Lord's presence. Jesus, Emmanuel, is with us. And the Holy Spirit inspires and empowers us to respond in ways that reflect Christ's presence in our situations. Whether we like it or not, we are Christ's representatives in the world. The way we interact with each other and with our communities matters. And we shouldn't feel a burden by this reality. It is a privilege and a blessing to be a child of the light who shines in the darkness. Let's draw our light from the one true light of life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Son of God, the Son of Mary of Nazareth, and the adopted son of Joseph of Bethlehem. Today we have taken a closer look at Joseph of Bethlehem's story, and God chose him to be a significant part of the work of salvation as the one who would give the Son of God, the Messiah, his name in the line of David. So through Joseph's story, we can appreciate his witness, which reflects that God's heart is one of compassion and mercy by which our hearts are shaped. And that it is God's character to be with us always as our response witnesses to the Lord's presence wherever we are. So let us offer our hearts to the Lord for transformation. And then practice compassion and mercy, bringing light and life to the world around us. Amen. Today we get the opportunity to share communion in a special way. We're going to be receiving communion as we always do. We're going to have people coming forward to receive the elements today. But we're also given an opportunity in this season of a day where we're thinking about a blue Christmas, a time in this season where some of us may be thinking about something that burdens us, a loss that we may have had. The difference in the way the season is because of different life changes in our situations, and it just doesn't seem to have that same joy as it always had. We're going to have an opportunity to light a candle and set them on the rail that is at the front here today. But as we come to the table, we know that we are all invited. We're invited to the Lord's table, and it is His table to invite. It's not mine. This is the Lord's table. Who invites all who seek Him and seek to be one with everyone, because we are here to reflect that love of Christ to the world. So as we come to the table, let us just take a moment of silence as we just reflect on how we need to let go of some things that are keeping us away from being one with each other and one with God. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, that proves God's love toward us. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we are forgiven. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right that we should always and everywhere give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who rose victorious from the dead and comforts us with the blessed hope of everlasting life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and your Holy Spirit. And on the night that he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body. Take and eat. As often as you take of it, do this in remembrance of me." And after the supper, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of a new covenant. It's poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and cup, that in breaking of this bread and the drinking of this cup, we may know the presence of the living Christ and be renewed as the body of Christ for the world, redeemed by Christ's blood. As the grain and grapes, once dispersed in the fields, are now united on this table in bread and cup, so may we and all your people be gathered for every time and place into the unity of your eternal household and feast at your table forever. And at this time, we lift to you in the silence of our hearts that dims our light in this season of hope, love, joy, and peace. Finally, by your grace, bring us to your table where we with all the saints feast forever in your presence. And may the candles we light give us comfort today, knowing you, O Lord, are the light of life. It's through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Our table is set. As I mentioned, we are going to be receiving the elements up front. So if those that are helping serve communion, please come forward. The way we're going to have, we'll have you come down. We have two stations. We're going to give you the bread. Please take it as soon as you get it and have the cup and take that. And you are bringing a candle if it decided to bring one. And we'll have someone on either side that will light your candle and we'll place it, sit it on the rail. Don't have to bring a candle if you didn't want one. If you want one and you don't have one, raise your hand and one of the ushers will make sure you get one. Otherwise, we will be receiving communion today, also with this honor of being able to share what is on our hearts with the candle lighting. The ushers will let you out as we normally do. blood of Christ given for you. Let us pray. Gracious, merciful God, we thank you for this time of your presence being with us. Lord, may you receive these lights as the light in us, that through the light that we have in you, we're able to walk through each and every day, knowing that we are with you in love. Amen.
Please rise for our closing hymn. Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates. Hymn number 213.
Thank you.
have a God of compassion and mercy who shapes our hearts to reflect who He is. May we go as we go knowing that we offer this to the world. So be the light. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.